I saw that. Did you get the car fixed?
No.
I'm going to go with no.
Yeah, no.
No.
Going to take some time to get that taken care of. So, yeah. So, basically, it was a crazy day. We've been having problems yesterday. We were having, and I had the carousel show that night. Julia was having problems all morning because we had two follow-up appointments, doctor appointments to specialists for Hazel, and the freaking referral department of our doctor, because we have to get referrals, and they would either put the wrong specialist, not send the right specialist over. They screwed it up so many ways. So Julia was on the phone with them like all day. And so we ended up having to cancel both of our appointments for follow-ups for Hazel. One was a follow-up for her surgery, her ear surgery. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was just a follow-up for her orthopedics so she can walk better.
Okay.
So I'm looking for a new doctor's office now.
I imagine.
I'm pissed, man. She was very nice. I would not.
Julia is almost always very nice. She is the yin to your yang because you're not. I love you. I do. You're my friend. You're my very good friend.
Thank God.
But I think when it comes to your kids, you're the fucking devil. As you should be.
Yeah. So I have to tell you, so it was a stressful morning. Julia was having a hard time. I felt really bad about having to go play a show, but I had to.
It's part of it.
Primarily because I was the only one that was going to go to the show.
No, you Rick know, or like, nothing?
Yeah, no, nothing, just me.
Shit.
So I was looking forward to getting some good playing time, you know, without having to deal with Rick's ego.
What ego? That is like the nicest dude.
He's almost as nice as Ray is a bastard.
That might be accurate, but I like Ray too a lot. Like, I dig him. He gives you such a hard way to go. It's so much fun for me.
So I ended up leaving late, so I knew it was going to be close for me to get there. So I was driving the speed limit if law enforcement is listening. And all of a sudden, I hear this. And I'm like, well, that can't be good.
Oh.
I was like, damn it. So I pulled over, and I expected to see, like, the front tire just ripped in half and half the engine on the highway, but it was the panel in the wheel well area that had off and gotten stuck in the wheel and all that equipment in there and stuff. I tried to put it back in there so I could drive, but it wouldn't go. So I had to take my pocket knife and get all ghetto with it and cut the plastic off.
Cussing like a sailor, I am sure.
No, it was too hot to be cussing. I was moving pretty fast for a chunky boy. So I was cutting, and I was like, this is surprisingly easy to cut. It was almost like butter. It was so easy to cut because it was on 118,000 outside. Mm-hmm. And I was like, there's no way I can do this show. So I called Julia. I emailed the venue owner. And then I did my Instagram thing. Hey,
sorry, guys. Were you literally on the side of the road when you made that video?
That is
everything.
That was after,
true. Real life. I'm still waiting for AAA.
Oh, I didn't wait. I just told Julia and said, I'm coming home. It may take me a long time to get there because I was about halfway to Austin.
Yeah. That's a little bit more of a drive than I thought it was when I was out there.
Yeah, it's a little ways, but driving anywhere in Texas is a little ways. You know, we're not one of those dinky states like Kentucky or any of the other states in the Union.
The Union? I saw your face. You were like, please let her not catch that. Please let her not catch that.
So anyway, I'm driving home. I was rocking 33 miles per hour.
Oh yeah, getting there.
The other way. But yeah. And I took the access road because I didn't want to take the chance of anything else falling off the car. My brake at work this morning, I went and looked at it, and it fucked up some stuff. So I'm gonna have to figure out how to fix it. Record before you.
You forget.
Did you hit record?
Oh my God.
Hey, knock knock. Hit record.
Fuck me. Such an asshole.
Fucking drummers. What's
that? Fucking drummers.
Fucking drummers.
Listen, I mean,
when one of you is probably the drummers, that's fine.
We're not. Drummers aren't invited to these kind of things. No.
See?
They are. We could drum to try. I can try to get them. Do you want to try to get them?
No, it's okay. This is that's probably fine. More than enough.
That'll be fun.
This is great.
He'll like it.
This is great.
He'll be the entire focus of the whole thing.
He'll listen to it next week and be like, you guys are fucking assholes.
Yeah. He probably already says that.
He's a wonderful drummer. He gets,
he gets a couple moments to really. He's a good drummer. He is.
Yeah, yeah. But there's a lot of moments where he just has to hit the ride, like really quiet, and he doesn't love those moments, but
he doesn't hide it either.
He's really good at those moments as well. But then there's moments where he goes absolute batshit and it's crazy, so it's good.
Yeah. He's looking at you going, you fuckers, why don't you write some heavy shit so I can play? I'm not even working up actually, a sweat.
I think we are going to write some heavier stuff for him, actually, in all seriousness.
All right, Sam, Who are you with the dark hair and the menacing beard?
I'm Justin.
Justin and Sam.
You're just.
He's the drummer. No.
Fucking damn.
I didn't do my hair. Look at this. It's a mess. I should put on a hat.
It looks great, man. You just be there. That. Be happy you actually have hair.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I'm telling you, I put the Rogaine on this morning, every morning. A little Rogaine, you know.
If the return policy, he does. It's all right, man. I'm going to stop talking. Go ahead.
Justin, are you mixing? What are you doing right now? You're like mixing a record right now?
No, I just threw these on so I could listen better.
I think Brent's are bigger.
Yeah, but they have too many lights.
His lights up too.
You know what they say? The more lights on the headphones, the better headphones. Yeah.
I sent those to him and I'm not sorry.
Check that out.
I'm not sorry.
So what are we doing? I have no idea what we're doing here.
We're waiting for your other people to get on.
Oh, no, this is it.
This is it?
This is it.
No, Bruce.
I think Dave will let us know. He'll let us know, he said.
I already said fuck Dave, you know.
I agree. I'll tell him right now. Dave's
fucking drummer wannabe.
He's texting him right now. That's great.
Drummer wannabe.
Oh, I like those guys.
Say Uncle Brent said fuck off. You can't be on time.
And said
this
you
is the
can't
best
be
intro
on,
I have ever recorded.
So he did said, you actually LOL, hit like record? Did you actually hit record?
Shut up.
I'll do it here.
I did. He's giving me shit.
Alright, so I'm gonna do y'all's intro and then we'll get into it. Found in a northern climate, this band from the East Coast is calm and mysterious. Combining multiple genres with tasty, delicate vocals, and equipped with a drummer that wants to beat the hell out of his instrument, this band has a compelling sound. Please welcome Wide Waters.
Woo!
Yeah!
Fucking yes! Yes!
Thank you guys for being on the show.
Thank you for having us.
So right now we have Justin and Sam, and what do you guys play?
So I play keys and I do like a lot of programming with drums and synths and all that good stuff. I do like a lot of production like inside the box and in Pro Tools too, beyond just playing like piano.
I play guitar and I do all the actual production. Justin doesn't do it. No, I'm joking. we both do that. I play guitar and we both are like the co player with toys. Yeah.
And who are the other members of the band and what do they play?
Dave Brooks, who I understand you guys have a fierce hatred of. Dave Brooks is the singer, beautiful singer. I've known him since 2005 and been making music on and off since then.
So then we have Tim Robinson on bass. He's also somebody else who we've known for a very long time. And Sam actually introduced me to him and stuff because he's been in like the Westchester music scene, so we kind of met him through there. And then finishing out our lineup is Jeremy Scuderi on drums. He's actually been a close friend of mine that I met in college. He's a really good drummer and a really good musician in person to have around.
Okay, and how long have you guys been together?
Sexually.
Yeah. Well, Justin and I sexually about, you were my student, so after that, I guess after that. We have been together since, well, Justin's in my other band. He joined my other band, which is called West Meets West. And then we formed this in like 2018, 19. But then we kind of did a whole regrouping, and this year is kind of the first real year of vocals and kind of new style of music, new music, new shows. So yeah, really, this is our first year of this version of the band.
After COVID, you guys kind of had to hit it again in a different way.
Yeah, I mean, actually, during COVID, Justin and I would send stuff back and forth all of COVID. Actually, most of the record was made during COVID. Dave would sing from home, and it just took us a long time to actually get it out.
Yeah.
Well, it's a hard way to write. Like, here's this, you do something, send it back. I do something. Okay, wait. Like, that's. So are you guys actually in the same area now? Can you like practice now?
We're all from New York, like Westchester area. And then Jeremy and I are from New Jersey, but we're not terribly far away from each other.
Oh, gotcha.
We usually meet like once a week to either practice or work on new music or just to hang out.
I won't go to Jersey though. So it has to be in New York. Yeah.
So how many of y'all have kids?
Three out of the five of us have kids. But I think it's a beautiful thing, you know, managing time and family and kids.
Have you found the secret to that balance? Inquiring minds would like to know.
Absolutely. It's super easy. All you need to do is she's yelling at the door. No, I, you know, every day is trying to figure it out. I mean, we have the one kid. She's a great musician. She'll play drums. She'll get on the drums. She's great.
I love it.
Yeah.
Change her. Get her to change now. There's Stop still it. Hope. She's young.
What do you think? Banking? Like banking or?
Anything but being a drummer. I mean.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need you to get focused.
I'm focusing. Tell me about your pedal board. I have that too. That's fucking badass, dude.
You most important pedal. I'm not joking. That's not a joke. Yeah. It's a Polytune. It's a TC Electronics Polytune. If you're not in tune, you can't do it. My daughter's still yelling, by the way. If you can't be in tune, then what the hell are you doing? You got to play guitar. I'm actually flying. Our other band's playing a show, and I have to bring a really small pedal board. So I actually have my really small pedals. I got a Boxer Rock Z-Vex, if you're into that. Mm-hmm. These are so funny that these are right here. A Strymon Timeline, because every Instagram guitar player needs to have one of these, so you need to have that.
Very good.
We have that, and I got the Mood by Chase Bliss. The Mood is really cool. That's what I got right now. Yeah.
Those are the only pedals you use? That's it?
No, I have like 30. I'm actually here to talk to you about the addiction I have to pedals. Okay. I have.
Dude, I could see there are some live videos on you with clothing on and you holding a guitar. And I can see you like have people that punch the pedal board for you because it's so large.
Yeah, we don't have guitar techs to like tune our stuff. We have a few pedal techs that'll just do all my pedal switching and all that. Yeah, I take this one song where I do like a pedal solo. The Tim, the bass player, makes fun of me to do. I do like a pedal solo. He makes fun of me for that. But you know what it is? I like. He's playing bass.
How important can he be? Really?
It's really important, actually. But I'm probably the least important.
Tell him he's this close to being a drummer.
I'm probably the least important, but I really like to find ways to make a guitar sound nothing like a guitar, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Actually, somebody at our last show came up to me and was like, I don't really know what you're doing on guitar. He's like, I don't really. What did he, Justin? You were there. What did he say to me? He was like,
he's like, what I saw you playing and what came out did not, did not make sense.
He's like, I don't think you're playing chords. He was really aggressive, actually.
You confused him.
Maybe it was some kind of foreplay, some type of foreplay. You know, he was actually a fan. He was like, how can I get to Sam?
He assured me he wasn't like, you know, wasn't making fun of me. And I was like, it's okay. I'm not seeking your, I mean, like, look, I hope you like the music, but it's okay if you don't. I'm not like a shredder. I don't like shred, you know?
All right, Justin, tell us about your stuff, your gear.
So I play a Nord Piano 3, and it's got all my presets that I need built into it, like any kind of either electric piano or like acoustic piano, strings. Then it gets into some like weirder patches that they make, but it's got everything I need. And sometimes I will play with a delay pedal, but that's usually more for Wes. I'll play with a Line 6. Sam, what's the green pedal?
DL4?
Yes, that one.
Justin, do you have any pedal gnomes that assist you?
I wish somebody would tweak my
my. Okay, just stop right there.
I got.
You wish someone would tweak your settings. That's good. Just go with that.
But no, I'm not like Sam. I don't have pedal techs that come up and change my turn my pedals on and off when I need them.
That's one of the admit to the world, I have no such pedal techs. No such.
Thank you.
As a former guitar tech, you know, it's, you know, not a thing. I wish. It'd be nice.
I watched live videos of y'all, and I really liked what y'all did. And so I'll probably ask questions about that as we get into it. But I really enjoyed those videos. Just listening to
I appreciate it.
Listening to the production itself was pretty amazing, I thought. I mean, it could have been better, but I mean, I was comparing
way
y'all
to guests to come back, Brent. Thank you. You're so awesome.
They'll come back. Trust me. I can see the look.
Did you see? Was it the one with the balloons? Is that the one you watched?
Yeah. No, I thought the quality of that audio was awesome. So how much work?
Oh,
there he is. Oh,
I've given you so much shit.
Fucking Dave.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, I know.
Dave, how could you get away with me with 35 kids?
37, but thanks.
37.
My, okay. My 17 ex-wives, as Jeremy would say.
Holy shit, I didn't know about that. Oh my god.
This is a chaos episode. These are my
Sorry,
favorite.
Guys.
No,
Sorry.
These are my favorite. I just don't edit them. I'm just like, that's what happened.
Well, I guess welcome, Dave. Hi.
We're only halfway
it's
through
good to see
this
you
shit.
Too.
No,
hey, we call him Brooks here. We Brooks. Call him Brooks.
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
What's confusing yeah. me.
He doesn't even have a first name here.
Just
it's like the prince
it's like
of the Sound Pollution Podcast universe.
That's high praise. That's high praise.
Wow. Hey man, I have to say, your voice is so much sexier than these other two.
That's why he's a singer.
It's just
yes.
it's.
You're just like fucking Barry White, man. Just hi guys. You know, but kind of, man, I missed you. It's good to see you again. Brooks, I'm talking to you, man.
Miss you too.
All right.
Brooks, are you okay, dude?
And all the shit talking.
Didn't sound sincere, whatever.
Brooks doesn't look like he wants to be here at all. Like, he's just like, I'm here so I don't get fined.
No, well, I had a very long drive back from Massachusetts for work, so I'm tired. I want to be here. I definitely did not want to be at work today.
That's fair. Okay, so until Sam and Brent hit it off, and the rest of us are just here.
It makes a lot of sense.
Just,
like,
me and Justin
Sam
are
just,
like, hey, buddy, how you doing?
If Sam finds somebody else who likes to be like sarcastic and just like give shit, he's like, Oh, this is fun. It's a different kind of serotonin for him.
I'm trying to actually be nice. Like, it hasn't even happened yet.
I tried to warn you guys. So, like, when I came on, I didn't know what the vibe was going to be because nobody warned me. And then, like, you know, Brent comes on, and I'm like, I don't know if he's being serious or does he fucking hate me? Does this guy hate me? He hates. He totally hates the music. This is probably some, like, alternative country piece of shit motherfucker looking at me being like, This fucking girly bullshit, and I'm just like, oh god. And when you're like, do you want me to analyze your music? I'm like, oh fuck, here we go. And then it was like, it was the opposite of what I thought I was getting. And then like the rest of the interview, I was like, oh okay, he just likes to be an asshole to me. Okay, I'm just.
Well, it's everybody though. It's not just you. And if you could do me a favor and leave us a review somewhere with just that for me. That would be.
you could just say Uncle Brent equals asshole and just put that out there.
But I have fun or something.
And then Ranelle will like the shit out of it. Small.
So what were you guys talking about before I came in and fucked it all up?
No, you're doing great.
I don't even know.
Have we started? Have we started?
Yeah.
Bro, we've been recording for 33 minutes.
Right now, we're back on track.
Welcome to my life. So let's talk about one of the songs. Let's talk about Set Precedent. He can't even get back on track. He's laughing.
Let's hear it. Tell us about Set Precedent.
Tell us everything.
We all count it kind of differently.
No, everybody counts it the same except you. There's no
such thing as counting differently.
You're the only one. You're the only one.
I count it in 10-8, and they all say it's not that, but that's how I count it. So it's a running joke in the band that every time that song gets brought up, somebody has to say, no, it's really in 10-8.
That's a serious time signature. I'm watching him right now
with his fake guitar going, wait a minute.
So,
I'll get a real guitar.
Do you get tired with that? I'd get lost.
Only at night do I get tired. I get tired at night. You don't get tired at night, bro?
Dude, I stay tired, man. I have a baby, man.
Sorry, he's there perpetually.
I was trying to remember how I count it because I don't even count it anymore. I just play it. But I don't even think it's in five anymore. I think it's just like four. It's just one.
It is five measures of 4/4.
There you go.
However you want to count it.
But it's like it's kind of like an asshole move on our part because he wrote the song and we're telling him what the time signature is. So like I also no, think it's valid. It's like, you know, we could all be wrong, but we're not.
Either way, it's an interesting, I mean, in all seriousness, like the way the instruments interact is they all kind of like listen and play on different beats, I guess. So especially the guitars and the keyboards.
I really like the bridge in that song.
Oh yeah,
it's nice.
So when you're saying guitar, are you including the bass player too?
Never.
Absolutely. Okay. Actually, in all seriousness, the bass. We were shooting for the bass to take the place of like rhythm guitars, pretty much on the whole album, actually, and letting them actually like do their thing as opposed to like the guitar and the bass player just both playing like power chords, you know. So giving it more to the bass and then having the guitars be kind of like prettier like parts and letting the bass be the rhythm guitar and the bass, obviously. Yeah, if that makes sense. And because sure. Justin's keyboards are so active
Go right ahead.
You have a question?
He just took over. All right, class. Everyone,
you raise your hand. I'm trying to be polite. I am a teacher.
Did I raise my hand?
It's
I'm hit a button. Yeah. My fault. I hit a button. Now it won't go away.
All right. We're just all going to wave at you. Everybody wave.
Hey. All
right.
That was not intentional.
Now they're going to fuck with you the rest of the show. All right. I'm going to go on mute. Y'all guys have a good time. I'll just wait here until y'all right, are right. Getting roasting.
So we were talking about Set Precedent and the time.
Yeah. So.
Dude, you're the most interrupted motherfucker ever. You've interrupted everyone on here.
I had an actual decent story about the song.
Please
well,
do.
Hold on. You're the only person that I know that does this and then starts talking immediately. Oh, yeah, by the way, let me tell you my life story.
Oh, this is fucking great.
No, I'll tell it to you.
Go ahead, Sam. Tell us.
Justin, you can tell. You know,
Grant could just have their own podcast, and we could just watch.
We do. This is it. This is our first episode. Justin, tell them about Andy.
I am not editing that.
The drummer that we had record the drums for that song, he did a demo of the end part. That's kind of the bridge to the song, and those drums that you hear at the end. He are the original demos, and it's only done with four mics. And he did record another one, like properly miking the drum kit, but he couldn't beat his original demo take, which I thought was always like, or we all thought was, you know, a cool aspect to the song that you know, it switches from this very like pristine kind of recorded drum part in the beginning, and then it kind of goes to this very reverbed out drum part at the end.
So all right, shout out to Andy Porter.
Andy Porter is probably the best drummer I've ever worked with. And I think the dude's like super nice. Like Sam and Justin know him far better than I do, but like he's played on like most of my stuff. And it's always been like a dream of mine to play with him. But he also plays like a myriad of other instruments and is in a bunch of different projects. Like the guy is endlessly talented.
So Brooks, tell us about the lyrics on that song.
Depressing as fuck. That's
very
much,
emo. Yeah.
Yep. I don't know if y'all have covered it, but Wide Waters is what happens when emo grows up.
Kept every picture and hidden like it's haunted, so I could remember all that we wanted. Cause it didn't seem that we bonded. Doesn't mean that we didn't break when we lost him. I'm still new to this day. What ends a repetitious loop of vertical? Finally the end is just the start of finding home. I'll keep my guard up on the way to rising. Saw was heartless. Never speak and take it away in the darkness. Light of cliche. I'll keep my guard up on the way to rising. Oh, 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 oh. Holding on to what remnants remain of my conscience. Drawn on lines in the sands if you cross them. I can give a shit if I hurt you regardless. If I was made in your image, am I an artist? And what's that saying? I'll keep my guard up on the way to rising. Oh, 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 oh. I'll be surrounded by his board when I'm up. Darkness flooding into overlords. There's too much to bear, too much to know. There's too much to bear, too much to know. There's too much to bear, too much. Yeah. I begin lost in silence, grief and pain. When did you start then like I did? Swimming in chaos, smiling at us then. It wasn't a compromise. Using the slow decline of every day. It wasn't just one for a child, no. It was the missing pieces we couldn't shape. When it got dark and quiet, yeah, I became lost in silence. Hey, did you start playing like I did? Swimming in chaos, smiling at us.
the lyrical content of the whole album is centered around one subject, right? And it's the idea of trying to create life or have kids, and then the struggles therein. So it deals a lot with infertility, and that kind of like dives into like the IVF community. So it does get like very specialized and niche in that respect. And when we first started working together, it was just going to be like, hey, we're putting together this album. We kind of want to have some vocals on it. Do you want to sing on a song? And then then evolved like one song to two to three. And then, you know, they were like, hey, do you want to be a part of this? So at that time, me and my wife were going through some serious shit. And that's where all that kind of came about. And I first viewed that first song with Wide Waters as like, here's the real outlet for some of this stuff. And at the time I was like, it's going to be one song. Nobody's really going to hear it, like who's in my immediate circle. And so I could just be as open and honest and, you know, depressing as possible. And then when it became like a full on like band album, I was like, well, let's just fucking lean into it and, you know, be sad. Here we are. So therapy. So there's your dose of Depresso for the podcast. So edit as you see fit.
I'm going to leave it. Tell me how you guys would describe your sound. I mean, aside from emo growing up. Because I hear a little bit of like Death Cab or Postal Service, a touch of maybe some Coldplay-ish vibes.
I want to hug you so bad right now.
I'm glad somebody wants to. So
there's a specific part in
Justin, are you okay?
One of the songs.
He's so cute.
He's like a little pet.
He's only like this when he's really high. He probably did shrooms right before this.
So.
No, he's probably sober.
There's actually in a Pro Tools session, there's this one section. I forget what song it is, but as a joke, we wrote not Coldplay because the part sounded so much like a Coldplay.
It was the bridge of Safely Guarded.
I was listening to your voice and I cannot believe. You have really good control over your vocals, especially when you get above the normal range that most men can sing at. Cause you have like serious range. I think you might be higher than a tenor, to be honest with you, just listening to what I heard. Cause you weren't even maxing out what you were doing in the things in all the music of yours that I've listened to. And that includes your solo stuff and this stuff. So anyway, right, that's just crazy.
I appreciate that. I mean, it's a lot of like another take, and then like layering. So you know, you look at like some of like the Jackson 5 stuff, and then like Michael Jackson on like, you know, Thriller album especially. I listen to that and I'm like, where are you singing? Like, where is it? And it's like, no, it's like, it's, you know, you've got lead and then you've got a falsetto above it and you've got a harmony between that and then a harmony below that sometimes. And it's like, it's all over the place. And once I figured that out, I was like, all right, I want to do that. So yeah, a lot of 90s R&B, thrown in there in terms of like vocal stuff, but no, man, I appreciate it. It's hard to pull some of that falsetto stuff off live though. I'm working on it.
I don't know. I saw three live videos and yeah, I was telling Sam and Justin how good y'all sounded whenever I was listening to that. It was really nice. The Safely Guarded, End of Hope, and Book of Stars live. Right on. That was just, I was like, fucking bastards. They sound so awesome. Fucking hate them.
I mean, it's Sam's definitely a perfectionist, and you know, I kind of like look to him as like the like in a good way, like kind of like the band director, if you will. But keep in mind, you know, they're both like fucking sound engineers, so you know, they also know how to clean it up on the back end. That's why the fucking record sounds so good. It's like Sam's like, oh, should we get somebody else to master this? I'm like, I mean, if you really want to, but like your shit sounds fucking great.
So what is your songwriting process like now? To together.
Justin usually, so it's pretty unique. And actually, we've talked about kind of sticking to this, but Justin will usually start. Justin writes so much music. There's a hard drive, just, I don't know, 50 songs, 50 to 100 new ideas, Justin, right? And yeah. So you'll have a really good like A section, maybe a B section, and then you usually like send it to me and we'll play off ideas with each other. And then usually we'll send it to Dave like pretty quick after there's like a, I don't know, really small structure. And then Dave will always view the chorus different than we do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like there'll be like an A, B, C section. And he'll be like, and Justin and I are like, the A is the hook. And Dave's like, nope, half of C is the hook, actually. So it actually makes for interesting song structures, because like we might write something like verse chorus and then he'll just fucking change it. But that's also a beautiful collaboration for that. I love that. So
nice save. Nice save.
Yeah, I hate it.
Oh, you just fucked it up, man. Yeah. Well, you had me thinking he actually does like what Brooks does.
Well, it's
listen, like, you want to go deep. I've known Dave since 2005. He taught me how to use this recording shit, you know, a long time ago. I love this guy. Our kids play together. It's like that.
Nice. I love you too.
Yeah.
Well, keep in mind, right? Like this, I joined the outfit during the pandemic. So we've just been doing this like postal service style for, you know, since inception. And when we first started, when I first got involved, right, these songs were, for the most part, like they were written, they were done. So I kind of came into it going like, okay, I don't want to ask them to change much. Like maybe I'll add a little, like, you know, guitars here, some keys there, like, but I didn't want to like come in and like really disturb it. So I've kind of tried to take that viewpoint as we've gotten past that. You know, we're still sending files back and forth because we live within a reasonable distance of each other, but, mostly my fault. Like I'm either on the road for work or just dealing with children, but, in some of like the newer stuff. So post Mountain Laurel, the album, you know, especially like one song in particular, it's like, you know, Justin sent it. It's like, oh, this is great. And yet, to Sam's point, like I switched the A and the B section. And I was like, oh, this is, and they're like, no, like this is. And I was like, all right, well, just take the vocals and switch them around and see what you think. But like, I don't know. But I'm also a sucker for anticlimactic choruses. So it's like if the verse is like super hard, then you kind of come down from there, because that's it's become more popular recently. But you know, in looking at like what I grew up with, like, I don't know, it's just it's a nice breath of fresh air. So that's how like I view the music, which is probably why I'm looking at everything backwards with these guys.
I think a lot of songwriting now is done the way that y'all are doing it these days, where you create something and you send it to whoever your partner is, and then they come back and they tell you, oh, please don't ever send me this again, or they go, nice try, someday you're gonna send me something I like. Or you find something that y'all both like vibe on, and that's how you forge a new sound, a new territory. So that's cool that y'all guys are doing that. I think during your interview, Brooks, you talked a little bit about Sam and Justin, but I think it's cool. So when y'all are transitioning and preparing for the next bunch of songs that were not already written, when do you go, this is too much fucking Dave? We need fucking Dave. How do we stop Dave? No, I'm being serious though, because there comes a point where it's too much one person, and that person dominates the whole. That person can dominate the whole sound. So how do y'all have y'all's checks and balances? And Justin, why don't you go ahead and start, since they don't ever let you talk?
I just think we all kind of bring like our own unique, you know, musical background into, like, we all have like similar musical taste, but there are certain things that you know, Sam listens to that I don't listen to, and vice versa with Dave, and you know, but I just think writing the songs in these little sections when we send it back and forth gives everybody like their own space to add what they want, and it's never like too much where someone's dominating. And we have had arguments about, I wouldn't say arguments, disagreements about like certain parts, and like, you know.
But no, in all seriousness, he is the lead singer, so you want to have, I mean, the song should always be more important than any kind of guitar riff or anything. So the song is the most important thing. But also, what I was going to say about our songwriting is Dave is like the most, in a good way, he'll just, the song will be like, you know, three quarters of the way done, and be like, no, this doesn't work, let's copy this, let's slow the whole thing down, let's run it through a guitar pedal. Like, he's really open to just not being precious with it and trying new ideas. And that's why, especially with the solo stuff too, we can like experiment and just have, you could have a song 6 months in and then not get attached to it and just be like, no, I'm going to change this entire section. And you know, Dave, we do that a bunch with your, especially your stuff, but even with the Wide Water stuff, it's like, it's really, because I get attached to something how it is from like the beginning. So it's really nice when they throw these ideas and just the best idea wins in the room, you know, just that's how it has to be.
Yeah, no, and I think, you know, we all know we're like each other's strengths, right? And you know, I look at this and I look at Justin as the primary songwriter and Sam, you know, right behind that, and me, I'm really just coming in and laying down vocals and maybe some auxiliary stuff. So like as a working example, there's a song we're working on, and you know, Justin sent it over with basically an A section and a B section, and I heard it and I was like, cool, like I could definitely get like a bridge going with this. And so I took it, messed around with it, definitely fucked up the verse and the chorus in terms of what was what. And then I wrote like a pretty guitar like bridge, and then I built upon that and I sent it over to these guys, and I kind of knew when I sent it over, I was like, well, we're going to see if they dig this. And as soon as like, you know, that kind of bridge in section built up, Sam was like, nah, this is not going to work. And it's just, you know, you kind of know when you're rolling the dice on something, because he was like, it just sounds too much like Brooks of York and not enough like Wide Water. So, you know, and that's an instance where I'm like, I really love that, and I'm definitely stealing that drum part that I wrote for something else. But you know, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And I think the lack of like huge egos between the three of us is what allows for it to work. Is if like, you know, one guy's like vehemently opposed to something, they're probably right, and you know, it might just take us, you know, an extra couple of days or a week to kind of see that.
Okay, so let's talk about Book of Stars.
So the beat in the middle, for some reason, I
did you count it differently again?
No. I really wanted like this snare roll and like Tom build to nothing. I don't know. I just think those parts are kind of cool if they're done like at if they're done the right way and like this and the song calls for it. And then, you know, we come back in with that big end section. Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's just something I heard and I really wanted to try, and they were all on board after we tried it.
Was that the first song you sang on, dude?
Yeah, man. Yeah, that was the one that got me hooked. So when they asked me to come back for a second, I was like, oh yeah, let's go. And like the funny thing is, like Sam just sent like a Dropbox folder, and he's like, hey, listen to him, see what speaks to you. And that was the very first one I clicked on, because I think it was like song one in the folder, and I was like, oh cool, let's do that. He's like, oh, did you listen to the others? I'm like, nope,
that's the one. I'm
that is an example in. Of you switched the you like
everything.
The chord progressions are like probably like banks of eight and eight, but Dan was like, nah, I'm gonna sing over these progressions weird and make the A section and the B section part of a chorus, right? I mean, the second verse is like, actually both verses have that B section that comes in at the end, which was never supposed to really be the way it happened.
Well, like
it worked out really well.
It was one of those instances where like I didn't want to disturb what was already there, because I knew that like if I was going to go in and ask them to like repeat something, an additional put an additional like repetition, I was like I would just copy and paste it in Pro Tools, but like that's not everyone. So I was like, how can I make this work, still get the resolution like from a vocal standpoint, and not disturb the music? And it's a little different, but I don't know. I mean, yeah, I think it.
Oh, I love it. I love it, by the way. I love it. But it's just a good example of how
it would be awesome if you were like, I fucking hate it.
What is the song that you guys had the most trouble writing together?
Oh,
Well, the song that you guys made me kick off the record.
Oh.
That's not the case. I don't think that's how we were.
Yeah. About. Yeah.
We were just like, an 11 minute long song was too much for the end of a 40 minute record already.
And guess what? You guys were right. But
that
was the hardest one though.
I listened to it and I was just like, yo, this is wild. What do you think about like maybe having this as like a separate release as an EP?
That's a cool idea. Are y'all gonna do that?
Sam.
No, you should think about it. That's a cool idea, because
maybe.
It's more like I'd four be lying. Or five it, songs.
It can't be used anymore. A different band stole it, so
was it Coldplay?
Sam is
it's Coldplay. It's Coldplay.
Ouch. It's actually Coldplay's side project, West Meets West.
We have so much new music already that it's like, trust me, we don't need that. We have some other. Actually, I sent them an idea the other day that was like, is this too far out of the wheelhouse for us? And I think you guys were like okay with it, but we'll see.
I'm gonna fuck with it. I'm gonna fuck it all up.
Do it right now live. Show everybody. Do it right now.
Let's go. It's gonna take you 6 hours.
Not editing so, that.
So Book of Stars,
6 hours. Go ahead. Sorry.
Out of all the stuff I listened, I like that one the most. Nice falsetto, has backing vocals that are really tasteful. Done almost. Some of them are so subtle you can barely hear them, barely make them out. So it creates a little weird effect in the background. I couldn't even find the words to describe that part. Tasteful guitar work on that song. I really like the guitar work. Actually, you do pretty tasteful guitar work on most of the stuff that I've seen from y'all. You don't overplay, which is really hard if you're a guitarist, because you want to overplay. You want to be like, here I am, you know, I'm going to play 5 million notes in 2 seconds or as loud as possible. But yeah. No, you do a good job of holding back. Even the parts you could play faster, you kind of just sit in the pocket and do what needs to be done, which actually elevates the song. There's a cool build at 2 minutes and 35 seconds. And then this one, the guitar solo is pretty cool. It wasn't long. It was like maybe 10, 15 seconds, maybe not even that. It's probably just a riff in the song, but that y'all pulled up. But it sounded really cool. So my question is the drummer looked depressed the whole song. And then when y'all hit the heavier part, he changed. His whole demeanor changed. It's like he was almost happy. You know, so how does it feel when y'all drop the hammer down? Because y'all are mellow. But there's a lot going on, and I think if you were too loud or playing too fast, you miss a lot of the nuances of what y'all do. But how does it feel when y'all do what the drummer wants to do, which because he wants to fucking play? I could just see his face. He's like, y'all are fucking pussies. Y'all are driving crazy. Oh, here's a chance. Then he goes for it. And then he's back to, I hate y'all. That's what it looks like.
I don't know.
That's what it really looks like when he's playing. So, but
I think that's our buddy. I think that's our buddy Hudson playing drums on those videos that you're talking about. He's a great drummer. He played on some of the records as well. I can tell you he loves the quiet sessions. He's actually cool with them. He's good with those too. But I think we're a band that's so into dynamics, just really, really. I love bands that can get really quiet. I love like making the audience like uncomfortably quiet. Like I want it really quiet, and then how do you make a loud section feel louder? You make something quiet around it. You know, if it was all just at 10 the whole time, it's not gonna feel that loud. But so that crescendo, and a lot of our songs do that. I don't know if it's my fault. Justin and Dave, but we're into that build. So hopefully by the end of it, they're into it.
A big part of what Sam does outside of Wide Waters is production, right? So like he is like, yes, he's an engineer, but like he's also a producer, and he brings a lot of that energy to the table. And you know, I think it, Justin obviously does. I do to a lesser degree, but I mean, you know, Brent, you kind of said it right. Like staying in the pocket, and for me, like staying in the pocket and letting the song shine kind of go hand in hand. And I think that's one of the things that, you know, allows us to kind of to work really well together. Is that, you know, going back to what you said earlier about like, what do you do when you kind of like reach an impasse and something isn't working? It's like, well, the other guy's probably right, you know, and you know, if we just take a vote on it, right, there's three of us who really are doing the songwriting. If two of us are like, nah, we shouldn't do that, or we should do something else, like, yeah, that's what we're going to do.
We'll be right back.
I really want you to talk a little bit about the live recordings and how you get that sound off. Are you recording directly from the board? Are you using a combination of mics from the board? And what are you doing to get, because that's good recording. Okay.
Sam is amazing.
What do y'all do?
So I'm going to let Sam answer like the technical side of this. But like, again, like I go back to what I just said, like Sam is producer, engineer. Like I attribute the vast majority of the quality of our sound to him. Like he's going to fuck with it until he gets, you know, the perfect mic placement. And, you know, he's also been doing this for so long. Like when we set up at our last show, we were on a fucking beach and I'm like, I don't know about this. And then you listen to the recordings, you're like, sounds really good, and like the drums are beefy as fuck. I'm like, oh my god. And I mean, like that was his setup.
So y'all still break set up and break down for yourselves?
Absolutely.
Really? No, I just so, y'all sound so freaking good. I can't comprehend.
So first of all, you need your shit to sound good. I got you. Second of all,
next thing we know, Brent's flying Sam down to San Antonio.
So let's go.
Hold on real quick. I sent Brooks an email and saying, hey, what do you think about this song? And he goes, well, that's an idea.
That's what I said.
I was like, thanks. Appreciate that. That's a good feedback.
That's
not
that's not the whole email.
How good I am.
Call him on it, Brooks.
That's not the whole email. I'm opening up my email right now.
No.
Hold on.
That's an idea. Somebody's got to.
No, because you were asking me.
Time out.
It was a cover song. Yeah, ring my bell.
I wanted to save this for Patreon.
Can I finish off one thing with what David was saying?
Yeah,
you're real. So first of all, it's not just me. It's a team of everybody. So Jeremy makes his drums sound amazing on his own. He tunes those. Justin is like the best keyboard player in the world. Tim, bass player, has an amazing bass rig, amazing setup. He practices. His rig is great. I'm an okay guitar player. You know, so everybody gives me tones first. No. Everybody gives me something that they've worked really hard to make sound really good, and they're rehearsed and they know the music. So to be honest with you, the technical side is not the part that is getting in our way. It's the musicians that are putting in the time on their own that makes their rigs. And, you know, if you're a guitar player, it's in your fingers too. It's not just your gear. So like that video we did on the beach, like literally nothing special. DI guitars, DI bass, you know, a couple crappy mics on drums, like just 57s, nothing crazy, you know. And then, yeah, we go in and mix it. I do a lot of mixing, but you know, the most important thing is they're all giving me something really good to work with, you know. And if I showed you the Pro Tools sessions, you'd be blown away at how simple they are, actually. So, you know, kudos to my guys for giving me good shit.
And before we move on to the Patreon and this email that I am dying to hear about, so everybody should go over to the Patreon for that. What advice would you give a young singer-songwriter?
I would say just to keep writing songs and doing it over and over and over and over again. That's the only way that you're gonna to get better. You'd be amazed if you had a hard drive that you listened to. I do it still to this day. You listen to something that you wrote 3 years ago to something you wrote last month, and you'll be like, 3 years ago you'll be like, what the hell was I thinking? Like, why was I doing that? And then you listen to something you did a month and it's like, wow, like you really hear how you progress. You just have to do it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, I mean, it's really that. Listen to music. Listen to really good music. If you know, if you want to live in a world of, actually, this kid the other day was wanting to make like techno music, and I was like, well, what are your five favorite techno records? It's like, if you can't answer that, like, you know, you have to kind of live in a world of a couple different things, you know. And I know Dave, Justin, and I kind of live in slightly different worlds, but they overlap. And that's where our influence can make us sound a little different, you know. So just listen and try something every day. I mean, I just do something every day to push yourself forward. And you can fail a lot. I've made so many bad records that I would never play you. You know? So.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to add to that, like, you know, if I'm going back and like trying to talk to my younger self, like a lot of people get hung up on the idea of like, well, if I have, from a guitarist perspective, right, if I have the most expensive guitar, if I have the same guitar that my idol has, then like I can sound like them. It's like, you don't need phenomenal guitar. You just need, you need the work ethic and you need a halfway decent instrument to get you started. And like when you get to that next level, if you can, you know, afford it, cool, go get the next thing up. But like you don't need to drop like $2,000 or $3,000 on a guitar. Like you could find, you know, from just throwing out brands, like you find a good Mexican Strat and or a Telecaster and they're great and you can get them used for like $350, $300. And a regular practice regimen, even on the days where you don't feel like it, if you can just 15 minutes, just make yourself do something on that instrument or with your vocals or whatever your thing is for 15 minutes, do that. And then you can check that box and go, maybe I don't feel creative today. I don't feel inspired today, but I practiced the thing that I want to be great at. And then like to kind of back that up, it's like, know that you're not going to go from 0 to 60. Right. Like, you know, I've had people like even like talk to me like, how'd you get to be so good? And I'm like, I'm old and I've been doing this for a long time. And it's just like, you know, and I'm like, I think it's experience. So, you know, the people that are just starting out, you've been playing your instruments for like 6 months, 12 months, like just keep doing it. You have to keep doing it. Even if, you know, everybody says you're garbage and everybody hates it. Fuck them. You know, slash their tires, kick them in the shins and then keep doing your thing.
Hey, thank you all for joining us today and listening to Wide Waters.
It was thank you again for being cool on the show.
It was fun. You heard some craziness at the beginning, and then Brooks had to come on and screw it all up with his super sick voice.
No, because he helped me get it back on track. Because you, I love you. But when you get another sarcastic person on the show, I'm like, I'm here. I'm in the room.
Thank y'all guys for listening. Y'all guys, please take care of yourself and have a good evening or a good night or a good day, whatever time of day you're streaming us.
Yeah. Like, follow, subscribe, and download, please. It does help us in the algorithms. Algorithms are a real thing. So like any videos you see us post, go on to YouTube, like us, subscribe to us. It makes a difference. Wow, okay, so we're checking out. We have lost all ability to make sense tonight. Remember to get out there and
make
some noise.